Sales biography?
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Lots of them, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, no. There's one official one written by the guy who came on the scene right when she finished, well, a year or two after she finished. They hid it in the file cabinet. And there's a guy, Ken Wapnick, who met them, and soon enough he realized it was his calling to give up what he was going to do and now work with Helen and Bill, get this thing edited and published. And so he was closest to her probably than anybody, maybe even closer than Bill in some ways, because she got along better with him. And so he wrote a very nice biography called Absence from Felicity, and it will walk you through the scribing and Helen's personality and some of the interesting things Jesus did with Helen in her personal life. Yeah, it's a fun read from a really good source. And it also will show you how sort of regular human Helen was. You know, she had an ego and foibles and argued with it just like we would, you know, trying to understand what the heck is this. She did not want to be known as the author. So that's why her name is not on there as the author.
Right.
Sounds so. But she fell in love with the material by the time she was done. Alright. Then there's another book that came out just last year, 2 years ago? 2 or 3 years ago now. And it's a biography on Bill.
Really?
Helen and Bill were the two that brought this thing forth. Bill was her boss, and he ran the typewriter. And she would read her shorthand notes from that previous night scribing. And arguably, you could say some of the course, double-digit percentage of the course, was written to Bill.
With the
through her.
With the trouble of maybe the problematic of the interchange, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Potential problems of
it's kind of like the sharing
cost. Yeah, the scribe part.
Yeah. And
potentially, but probably not.
Yeah, well, the first five chapters were difficult, rough, and there's, I mean, also, who knows? But
in translation,
it reads differently. And then she finally, she surrendered. Once she got about 5 or 6 chapters in, she thought, this is so amazing. And she stopped trying to fix it. She thought she could do better than the voice. Just phrasing.
It looks like it should work.
And she would change a word.
She tried to interpret.
She's very educated.
Right.
And she would go back, she would change a word or two after the scribing, and the next day the voice would say, okay, let's get started. And let's start by changing the words back that you changed last night. Yeah, seriously.
That's great.
Then yes, she'd have to go back and fix the words. Yes.
Sorting it just doesn't work for me personally.
Yeah, well, I think I like what you were saying. If you don't try to understand it, but let yourself hear it.
Just feel it.
Feel it, hear it, and read the next paragraph. And a lot of times the third paragraph will explain what you were struggling with in the first two.
You're just able to pick out this the morsels, or it's all morsels, but
yes,
you're able to just get that perfect part out of it, you know,
so we can understand it.
Yeah.
It's kind of muddy, and then all of a sudden you'll put it in context, and it's like, yes.
Great. I'm so glad it works for you.
Yeah.
Well, that makes a really good meeting.
But then you're not anxious. It's like, no, I don't have to worry about if I don't get it, because he's going to expound on it, and then I will get it.
That's excellent. That's excellent.
We really like the sharing part and going meditating on a word or whatever.
Oh, good. I'm glad you like that too. Good. Yeah, that's good.
That's a great distinction, Andrew. You know, we read words, and it's difficult for us to not read the words through our intellect. And in most cases, when we're reading or studying something, you know, the whole point is to actually understand it.
Yeah.
And some of this is on a level that will be fruitless.
Yeah, that's true.
Like you say, just, you know, be willing to listen and let it in and leave it at that.
Yeah, you bet. Very good. And then what happens is you will be surrounded by the authority and the confidence with which this is written. That's your first message. This is real. This is real. What you have in your hands is a guide from above or beyond the small experience that you're saddled with your body. this is real. And there's no way you can know it without just reading it and feeling it. And let the authority just come through. Then when you go back to read it in depth, or you come here and listen to me describe, you know, it, then the what it's saying will start to sink even deeper with how it was said and from where it came. So you bet. Just read it, let it soak in, and let the thing continue very intelligently to work you. Yeah. You sort of, the text works you, and then you work the workbook. Another way to look at it. I said it before, there's probably at least 7 levels of consciousness.
Nobody's sitting there.
Interwoven through the book. And so you may be staring at level 5, and you should be looking at level 3. And really working on just holding on to level 3. And yet 5 is sitting there if you spend too much time looking at it. And that's just confusing. Yeah. But then you'll come back the next year thinking, I already read this book. Wait a minute, I didn't see this. Yeah. And that you went to level 5 or 4. Yeah.
You know, in the lessons, when they have the reviews.
Yes.
And you do 1 and 2,
yes.
And 3 and 4,
yes.
Each day. What I've been doing is I've been going back to the original 1,
yes.
The original 2, and rereading what my notes were and everything, and
nice.
Then doing it. And every time I do that, I find something more to underline that I didn't quite get the last time.
This is exactly what I'm talking about. How much time did you spend with it? So many, you know, a week earlier.
A week.
Days, right?
Yeah.
And yet still. There's a gem in there that
no,
you
I'm
didn't.
Yeah. And I'm reading the text really slowly.
Yeah.
But everything we study here applies to the beginning, and everything in the beginning applies to here. It's like everything reinforces everything else, it feels like.
From end to end. Very good, Milena. Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Another way that you can pour your confidence into all the hours you're spending with this, because it works together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Good testimony. Yeah. Yeah. I it's part of what gives me the confidence to follow, and it'd be permission to do what this book is asking me to do, because it is so consistent. The message and the messenger and how I'm understanding it are all coming together like a beautifully played instrument. It all makes sense end to end. Says it's saying the same thing again and again, and yet a deeper and clearer way. So, all right, if it's these workbook lessons tell me I am the light of the world, let me look at that a little closer. I, who might be angry, depressed, tired, lonely that day, am the light of the world. Really? But you know what? If you're going through 700 pages of text, it's bought my allegiance to try, to see. Yeah, yeah, good. So that's to see. Oh, to see. Tonight, we're going to look at a word in the book that is it's vision. The book uses the word see, and you can that would be your eyeballs. And it uses the word vision that would be not with your eyeballs, but with your understanding, with your third eye. You're familiar with that whole concept. Which, by the way, in the early drafting of the book, in the notes, Jesus used that word spiritual eye as a distinction between this ego eye. And then, after a while, after those first 5 chapters, and I think by the time Ken Wapnick came on board, by sure, but I think it was between Helen and Bill, they said, and Jesus, they talked with Jesus, and they talked about this term and some others, and they said, well, you know what? We're going to change this to Holy Spirit. Vision is not with your eyeballs. It's with your mind. It would be your understanding. And you think about the word understanding for a minute. It's different even than know. It's sure different than see. It's different than being aware of something. or hearing about something, or the concept or belief in something, an understanding of what is the fish hook on Highway 1. Does everybody here understand what I mean when I say the fish hook on Highway 1?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No.
No?
Okay, so it's a great distinction, right? So here we have, and this guy lives in Santa Cruz. And here's something that's unique to the Santa Cruz area, that we describe one of our roads as the fish hook. If you look down on the Highway 1 to Highway
17 to 1, yeah.
70 to 1 interchange, or 1 to Mission, how do you describe that? It's Highway 1.
It's a nice big fish.
Loops
mostly,
around.
It's mostly from 17 around to 1.
So it's shaped like a fish hook, and if you're driving your car on it, it's a decreasing arc, and you have to
go slower and slower.
Because it's shaped like a fish hook.
Unless you want to have fun.
Yeah, and it tends to.
Yeah.
You can accelerate.
Hit the gas, Kenny says. I got to try that.
I was going to drive.
Get the back end to spin around, right? Get your turn going. Who needs a steering wheel? But you understand that once you've thought about it or seen it on a map or had it explained, and you, oh yeah, the fish hook. Hey, there's traffic at the fish hook. Oh, don't I know it. There's traffic at the fish hook. It's not your eyes we're talking about, right? It's really your understanding of the fish hook.
Yeah.
And traffic at the fish hook. You've been there, you've sat in it, and you heard it on the radio announced, and you said, oh, I'm experiencing this. It's something you understand. So we can talk about navigating the fish hook, and you actually have a little vision that's in your mind about what that's all about, where it is, the dynamics of it, and it's not using your eyes.
I had an experience today. Can I interrupt? Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I was reading something, and it was talking about your mind versus thinking.
Yes.
And I was thinking about thinking. Because I was locked out of my house for an hour. Yeah, and I said to myself, you know, I was a biology major, and I was thinking, okay, your senses bring things to your brain, and your brain, because it says you're not using your brain to think.
Mm-hmm.
And your brain is interpreting what you're seeing, but your thinking is what you do with what's being interpreted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a mind thing for me now.
Yeah, and the Course in Miracles calls that judgment. You can...
Right. And that's what's not... That's not. That's what I'm dreaming about.
Yeah, exactly.
It colors
your dream.
Mm-hmm.
Colors your dream.
Right.
Instead of being neutral things, there's good and there's bad, there's tall and there's short, there's yours and there's hers.
Mm-hmm.
And then worst of all, there's good and there's evil.
So I thought we're supposed to stay away from vision. I'm supposed to stay away from the future. It's not really.
No, not that kind
okay.
of vision.
So yeah, so there's another distinction on vision. You would think that it would be another time. Okay. And that's not what Course in Miracles is talking about with vision. Thank you for clarifying that. This is how you understand something, not how it might be some other time. This is how you right now will see with your third eye, with your spiritual sense, with your Holy Spirit. So for you, as a body-bound, flesh-and-blood, habitual ego, nothing personal.
It's okay.
But that's you. For that, we seeing is believing. With the eyeballs.
Yeah.
Course says, oh man, you do a couple of lessons, right? You do a couple of workbook lessons, you start to understand. It's not seeing is believing. It's believing is seeing. What you think about it becomes what it means to you.
And we think about what our senses get from the half of our mind that is controlled by the ego.
And she sees it differently. So she has a whole different opinion about what you both are looking at. We had a gun in here one night. Literally a gun. It sitting over there. It wasn't loaded, but it was a real gun. And we ended up putting it in the middle of carpet here. We had a big Course in Miracles discussion about this piece of this gun. It was probably used by some psychologist to get somebody over PTSD. Who knows? But they left it behind. And so we discussed how each person here... I think you were here over that?
Mm-hmm.
each person here saw this thing differently. And Mario was here, and Mario knows a lot about metal because he's a butcher. He knows about stainless steel and different kind of metals, and he could respect what kind of metal was invested in making that gun. And somebody else was a historian, and he said, you know, that thing looks like it could be from the 1800s. You know, that might be a relic. And somebody else says, no, that's for killing people. I want it out of here. I can't. I'm nervous. You know, and on, right? It's just a piece of metal, right? With a wood on the end. Until you put meaning on it. And so, you know, there's judgment and interpretation. That's seeing. And then what you believe about it becomes what's real to you. So people begin to believe that it was a relic, and I thought maybe I could sell it on eBay for $500. I mean, that's what it meant to me. And it's so you know, then that's what it becomes. You see, so we are responsible for our experience, and that's what Course in Miracles is about, is for you to catch your thinking, your own thinking, not hers, not the book, not anything else, but monitor your own thinking and then compare it to how you feel. And then when a situation makes you unhappy, you catch your thinking, unhappy thinking, and you think, oh, I'm unhappy because I was worried about this. For this reason, this reason, this reason. Well, no wonder I am unhappy. What have I been teaching myself about this situation? I need a miracle. Holy Spirit, show me this differently. And then you take that person or that item or that bill or that time or that whatever it is messing you up, and you go for a miracle, which is a shift in perception about it. And immediately you start to calm down because you're doing something constructive with it. And if you go quiet, you sit, you take whatever today's lesson is and apply it to your problem. My attack thoughts are attacking my invulnerability. It's one of the lessons, for example. I'm busted. I've been believing this thing's going to attack me. Or wanting to attack somebody. Or whatever. You could bust yourself. There's the miracle. It's going to shift the way you see this thing. We're already moving out of what your body's eyes see, and we're moving toward a vision of how this is not what it appears to be. It's been a problem, something you are going to lose. But now by calling in your Holy Spirit, which is how you access vision, your Holy Spirit's part of your mind, still connected to the truth. Call on that instead of the ego. And say, show me this differently. That's where the miracle comes. You take the problem and you ask.
Can you do it in the moment that it's going on?
Absolutely.
Because you just made me feel bad.
Feel bad?
I had this great learning.
Because you could have, should have, would have?
Because I didn't.
Yeah, you didn't.
Wished I had. My daughter and I were getting ready to play Pandemic, which we haven't played but once before. And it's a cooperative amongst the players to beat the board. It's not mm-hmm. against each other.
Uh-huh.
My granddaughter walked in, and I said to Susan before she got through the door, can I ask her?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, yeah, if you want to, go ahead and ask her. Well, they were having a great time working together. They both have brilliant minds. And I was sitting there wondering what the hell they were doing, because I can't think that fast. And I can't remember very well either.
Mm-hmm.
So that every time it was my turn, they had to tell me what the rule was again.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon they were laughing at each other,
mm-hmm.
laughing together, just hysterically laughing. They were having such a good time working together and laughing. And I was thinking, oh, this is so wonderful that my child and my granddaughter back together finally.
Mm.
And then pretty soon, I started saying, they're laughing at me. I'm not sure how long I can take this. Just remember that part, because that's the part I want to get back to. So I was fighting saying anything, because I didn't want to attack. I didn't want mm-hmm. to say, you're hurting my mm-hmm. feelings, or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But finally I said, if you could stop doing that, I'd really appreciate it, because I'm starting to feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was the nicest way I could say it.
Mm-hmm.
And my granddaughter says, if I don't laugh, I'm going to get angry at you for not remembering anything.
Oh, how honest is that?
So the next time it happened, she got angry.
Yeah.
And then I got pissed because she got angry.
What an invitation.
Oh, my gosh. So then she said, well, you told me I could.
What an invitation.
I know. And so in retrospect, I shut up after that. I thought, you know, all I'm going to do is get myself in deeper.
Yep.
Both my daughter and granddaughter could out argue me any minute.
Yes.
Any moment. So I thought, I'll think about what I did wrong later after the game when I went back to just play.
Yeah.
And it was fun. But anyway, later what I thought was my ego was egging me on to attack.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying really hard not to, trying to come up with a way of saying it so I didn't have that hurt feeling.
Yeah.
And I realized there probably wasn't any way. So then I said, what I should have done instead, just remember how much I love both of them and let them do whatever they wanted. They were having a great time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I should have remembered.
Yes. You can also join them. Instead of being you...
Well, I was laughing at first.
Good, yeah. I know, but the ego got a hold of you. The ego made a judgment.
Yeah.
Back to what you said, started thinking about what you were thinking.
So anyway, I finally got to all I really want to do is just love them, so let's let this go then.
Yeah.
So I did. So I worked all the way through that later on,
yes.
You know, all that. And then when you just said, call on the Holy Spirit, I thought, way back in the beginning, when mm-hmm. I was first getting irritated, that's mm-hmm. what I needed to do.
Yep.
Instead of let it go on and on until I had to work with it.
You bet, because Luann has a bunch of bad ideas on how to solve it.
Oh, thank you.
But Luann, Christ, you know, your Holy Spirit,
yeah.
has some great ideas.
Yeah.
How to get even closer to your daughters.
But when you said, call on the Holy Spirit,
good.
I said, okay, that was why I should have started this process.
You bet. And you will. You're going there so quickly. You're going to get to the point where that's going to be your go-to. You know, you will. For now, though, don't lose this opportunity and go ahead and rehearse in your mind how you might have called on the Holy Spirit then. Put yourself in your mind back at the card table, back with the issue, back with them laughing. You might even get a little sweat in your forehead because you get nervous again how they were laughing at you. That's good. That's where you want to be. And then ask the Holy Spirit to show you this differently.
Okay. I have been practicing calling the Holy Spirit in on
good.
Occasion.
Good. Excellent. That's how we do it.
In terms of working with my clients, the ones I don't know what to do with.
Very good. Excellent. Excellent. Good.
But
good.
I can do it. I can rehearse that.
Holy Spirit will bail you out.
It's a little scary to do that, but I will.
It is. And that's why I say I want you to go as far as even getting nervous again and uncomfortable and mad at your daughters and a little sweat in your forehead. If you can get that close to it, this is where the miracle will be most salient and most obvious.
Yeah.
If we're just talking about it and we're laughing about it, I'm not sure you're going to get the message, the miracle, the real shift in perception.
Yeah, I think I would rather have a miracle than to figure it out on my own.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm so proud of you. I mean, you're on your way that you are considering that this would have been another way to approach it. It's great. Yes.
Anyway,
so think about sight, where your eyes see what's out there, and vision is where your mind sees what's in here. Vision is going to be understanding. Sight is going to be observing, or it's almost like, you know, use your body's eyes. It's like it's already happened. It's out there. All right. So let's take a few minutes and then just think about this contrast.
Okay. I thought vision was understanding through the holy as a holy process.
Yes, it is.
Okay, it's not understanding of how a machine works.
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. So let's think about this distinction. Just so we can put a context on some of what we're going to talk about tonight. How the body's eyes see and then think about what they see and then decide what it means, otherwise known as judgment. That's the way the ego works. Compared to a term we're calling vision, which is understanding given you by the Holy Spirit, from a perspective of wholeness or oneness or love. That would be vision. What is vision? What does it mean to understand? What does it mean to join? How does it feel to suddenly know you are already joined? For this is vision. What do the body's eyes look upon? What are you seeing? And how would the Holy Spirit, which is the voice for love, the voice for God, the Holy Spirit, the voice for truth, the Holy Spirit, the voice for oneness, how would this have you see? What message or lesson would the voice for oneness, the voice for love, the voice for unity, the voice for sharing, how would the Holy Spirit counsel you to look at anybody? This would be vision. This would be denying the ego. This would be awakening to your true self. And finally, see if you can come up with just one word or phrase on how, one aspect of how the Holy Spirit, the voice for God, the voice for love, the voice for sharing, the voice for joining, the voice for unity, the voice for understanding, the voice for miracles, how the Holy Spirit might counsel you to look at another person. Just pick an aspect. And if you have somebody in your life with whom you're having problems, somebody, things aren't quite the way you like, somebody's been difficult in your life, that person, that'll do. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you something about that person that has to do with innocence or love. Ask the Holy Spirit now to give you just a word or a phrase on a way that you could see this person with vision. What's really going on that you may understand a bit more about love? And now, if the Holy Spirit has shown you another way to look at this person, perhaps some way that is innocent, an understanding perhaps has come to you, maybe a little compassion, come up with just an idea, a phrase or a word on how the Holy Spirit would counsel you to think of this person. Approach this person in your mind. For this will be vision. This will help you see through the difficulties. Holy Spirit, how shall I now look upon this person? Heal my mind. And tell me, how should I now look upon this person? Kenny, do you have somebody in mind?
Yeah.
And did the Holy Spirit give you a perspective on this person?
Yes, me.
Oh, yeah. You were looking in the mirror.
Yeah, I'm the one that I didn't spend the most time with.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So,
nice.
The unspoken understanding is that I like myself.
Yeah. Huh.
The hardest part.
Yeah. Yeah.
You spend all the day trying different things and don't work out.
Yeah.
Judgment.
Well, then you could have, would have, should have later. When you look back at it, you find some better way to do it that you didn't. Yeah, you're hurting yourself. Yeah.
So tonight it's me to accept me.
Okay. Well, is there a word or a phrase that comes to you that some innocent aspect of you that showed up?
Well, it's hard to say I love me.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know,
let's not go that far.
Don't go that far. No. Got to say I like myself.
Yeah. Yeah. And there might be some, when you spend time with this, and then we were pretty brief here, but when you spend time with this, you just invite the Holy Spirit to come look at you. Look at the way you are. Know what you've been through, your motivations, you know, your skills, your all that. Hey, what's something about me that is innocent? Mm-hmm. It's an insight into the true you.
Yeah.
And you can like that guy.
Yeah. I was here with Ray last night. We have a group meeting, and Ray said, Ray owns this place.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, Ray said, I'm innocent. You know, so I said, okay, I'm innocent.
Yeah.
I don't quite believe it, but
yeah,
try it out.
Try it out.
And another person couldn't use the word.
Oh, really? Yeah. Very good.
Innocent.
Innocent. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yeah.
Makes a lot easier to live the world.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
Yes. It's hard. It's hard in the beginning because, you know, our training and our judgments, and it seems like it might be a lie, or it might, in it, calling yourself innocent might be some avoiding of a judgment that you deserve, that you're guilty of things you shoulda, coulda, woulda. However, as we start to awaken to what you really are, and to what is really going on here, and to what component the ego's laws play in your life versus what component God's laws could play in your life, those are two sides of a chasm. In the Course in Miracles, we kind of walk on the bridge each Thursday night, or every time you open this book and you go on a bridge from the laws of the ego, which will rip you up and tear you down and show you guilty what you could have, should have, would have done, to the other side of the chasm, the laws of God, which say you are an extension of life and light, and you look like dark and mud with your body's eyes. But if you let the Holy Spirit look at you and see your innocence, and see what's really going on here, is you're living a dream of separation, not a reality of separation, or even a reality of a body. Whoa! That it is a dream that you caught yourself in, and you're still dreaming, but you're called to awake. When you start to get in that kind of discussion with yourself, you can remove yourself from the guilty son of a beep and start to see innocence. If you stay within the laws of the world, yes, you're guilty. Yes, it hurts. Yes, you'll be suffering. Yes, there'll be more troubles coming, and it's depressing. And well, then at the very end, you die. That's the end. Right?
I have a couple of clients that would like to get to the end for those reasons.
Yeah, but they don't have the guts to do it. So they're going to suffer all the way. Unless they keep coming to see you and they wake up. Come to happiness, peace, and freedom.
I keep telling them about this evening. That way I don't have to do it.
Well, you see, it's that simple, though. It's one or the other, and there's not really a whole bunch of variety to choose from. The book gets simpler and simpler the more you study it. Is that true, Julie? The book gets simpler, not more complicated. There's a tough turn, okay, the words are lonely, there really is hard getting into it. But once you start to recognize, page to page, the motivation of this author, and when you start to understand what the messages are, it gets simpler and simpler. And now the job is just for you to accept the happiness, peace, and freedom that's waiting for you right now.
I have a sense of God.
Yeah.
And one of the lessons I read, it said God thinks of me as innocence and it hit me right here.
Ah.
And I thought, what comes from me when that from that one is if God is thinking I am innocent, who am I to say I'm not?
There you go. Very good.
And it's
yes.
Kind of, but it also was one of joy because just realizing that God thought that, even if I couldn't absorb it completely.
Yes, very good.
Was like, that's what I'm aiming for.
And yes.
That's what I'm wanting to do is think like God thinks. And if I can think about myself, then I can think about everybody else too.
No, that's true enough. Yeah. And it's pretty courageous to think that you're innocent. That would be a stretch for some people. I'm glad you could touch it. And I'm glad you think, well, if God thinks it, so then you actually have a gift to give yourself that you can say those words. A lot of people can't say the word God and think that God knows anything, because God's nothing. There's God, Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, they're all the same. Oh, really, to a lot of people. Even people who are religious. They go along with it because they were trained that way, but when you corner them, and you really ask them, they don't have any sense of love, being surrounded by love. It's more common than you think. I'm glad you have that, and you have demonstrated that you have that. That there is a loving presence that holds everything together, and it's you that have closed your eyes to that. This is a great awakening. That it's just you that see the darkness, but it's all this light surrounding. If you stop looking at the dark, you see the light. That's a spiritual awakening, by the way. That's very nice. It's very good. That's one of the gifts that I got from A Course in Miracles, is the more I read this book, the text, literally, the more I spent time with those pages, I just surrendered to the authority that love is. And it's from where I come, and it surrounds me, and if I just stopped looking the other way, I would feel the love too. If I would just be willing to do nothing for just a second, be willing, the little willingness to do nothing, just for one full second. How long is a second? Ready? 1,001.
Yeah.
Since you're seeing, it's just been about 6 months that I decided to walk back into light again.
Okay.
And that was one of the first hurdles, was being able to say the word God and have that be okay to say it in a sentence, to speak God. Sense. At first, I didn't capitalize. Yeah. I'm texting. Yeah. But then now, of course, I capitalize it. Just seems right to capitalize it. So, and now, commonly use it every day. So.
Wow. And you probably don't care what other people think.
It was exactly. it's just interesting because it was I remember kind of forced it out.
That's pretty cool.
You just made me think of that.
That's pretty awesome.
I don't understand.
You know, I watched some movie I was watching, or it was a documentary maybe even, about a couple of guys that graduated from high school and they were musicians and they just really liked playing spiritual music. And they, weren't necessarily going to be priests or anything, but they liked spiritual rock. And they were raised that way, and the churches began to hire them to come play spiritual rock. So whether they wanted to or not, they got drafted in, and they were called to go, and they got good at it, and better and better. And it began to rub off on them. And they began to write the music that they were supposed to be playing, and they began to fall in love with the messages, and they became more spiritual and Christian, and God and Jesus was a beautiful thing in their life, and they just loved singing it. But it was funny how they kind of backed into it. So in one scene in that movie, there was another one of the band members, I forget, it was a family member or a friend from school or somebody who wasn't in this, hadn't been caught by this whole idea of God or love or Jesus or any of that stuff. They said, "What, you guys are making this up. You're making up words for songs to make people feel good, and you're just BSing your way through it. Hands on hips." And one of the guys in the band said, I totally get that statement. I would have said that myself when we started. He says, "But now when things go bad, I turn toward the words and the music and I start to feel good again. What do you do when things go bad?"
I listen to Strauss waltzes.
They didn't know what to say. Strauss waltzes, okay. But the person just went quiet because there's a thing in their life that can make them feel good and fill their heart. He says, "I felt my heart gets filled again. I just read the lyrics to the song we wrote last month and I just smile. I don't know if it's real. I don't care. But it fills my heart. And I'm going to do it again next week." What do you do?
That's why I came back.
So I thought, wow, you know, I love that demonstration of how practical it is to move your mind from doubting and running and worrying to being hopeful, trusting, and going forward. To staring at the small to allowing the large. That's a miracle. Yes?
That's what my story about what... That's what I came up with when you asked, what would you say to someone you're having a little bit of trouble? What I came up with was, I would say to myself, I don't know if I would say to them, but I would say to myself, they are on a path toward doing what I'm doing, and all they need to learn, which is what I need to learn, is to leave it into God's hands.
And that's basically what it was. Get it out of the ego's hands.
Right. Don't use the ego to figure out how to find love.
Yes. Don't use the ego to figure out how to find love. I love it. Anybody else want to share a message or a word or another way to look at somebody you're having difficulties with? Did the Holy Spirit talk to anybody? Bridget?
I've been playing with the separation idea and our projection that person, that I'm making this all up myself.
Yes.
And so if I'm having this conversation with somebody and it's, I'm feeling already like I can feel defenses coming up or, you know, a little friction there. And it is taking just that 1 second and realizing how much I'm doing to myself. That it's like I'm hitting myself in the head, you know, I'm pushing against my own self.
Yes.
And just to like drop and not have to say anything,
yes,
and just kind of be there and just not. It's weird. It seems like it's a long time. It's just like, I don't even know if I'm listening, but I'm just going, wow, how would I want to be, you know, if that's my own self there to be treated or listened to or talked with. Most of the time so far has just kind of been a quiet down and
yes,
just kind of let, it doesn't matter, whatever.
Yes.
And just kind of be with that.
Beautiful.
It's kind of very different.
The courage to back off and do nothing. Even for a few seconds, changes everything.
Yeah, it stops all the stories and this, I got to get this done, or I want to do it my way, or
yeah,
and realizing, wait a minute, this is maybe not.
Yes.
I'm just kind of going against my own self.
There it is.
I'm the only one there.
Oh my God, say that again. You're kind of going against your own self. That's right. Yeah. You've been very poorly taught. You want to see where it says that? Turn to page 297 in the text. I don't think we've gone to this page since Bridget started. We used to go here every other week.
This is 297.
297 this time. And look at the bottom of the page, and let's we'll read through paragraph 6.
We've been there. I've got it.
Oh, good. We've been there. Great.
We have arrows.
Okay. So what we're talking about is the lessons of the Holy Spirit. And the lessons that the ego would teach you, and lessons that the Holy Spirit would teach you. Very appropriate for tonight's discussion. You know what? Your ego would show you for your eyes to see and your memory to judge, or what the Holy Spirit would show you with vision to understand. So let's read paragraph 6. Julie, you want to read that for us?
I'll pass. Thanks.
Okay. Stephen, you want to read it for us?
Sure.
Yeah.
Do not be concerned about how you can learn a lesson so completely different from everything that you have taught yourself. How would you know? Your part is very simple. You need only recognize that everything you learn, you do not want.
Period. Say that again. What? What do I have to do? How is it that I get out of my stinking thinking? How is it I abandon the ego's counsel? Go ahead.
You need only recognize that everything you learn, you do not want.
Oh.
Ask to be taught, and do not use your experiences to confirm what you have learned. When your peace is threatened or disturbed in any way, say to yourself, I do not know what anything, including this, means. And so I do not know how to respond to it. And I will not use my own past learning as the light to guide me now.
Very poorly taught. You know, I'm not going to use my own past learning as the light to guide me now. And that's like, be willing to say, I'm not going to listen to myself. Going against yourself. Yourself is the, you've been there all those years developing. And look where it's got you. How's it working for you? That ego. Not so good. You know what? I'm backing off. I'm not going to use... I don't really know what this is for. I don't know what that person is going through. I don't know why they're telling me. I don't know why... I don't even know. So you know what? I'm going to let the Holy Spirit kind of jump in, and maybe I'll just get present and see what happens. It takes courage to do that. But, oh my God, you're a whole different human being that's not judgmental, or you're not... They're speaking, and you're not preloading yourself with how you're going to... No, you're just listening. It's so different. You're going to like yourself. And now continue. Because it now gets uber practical on exactly when does the Holy Spirit come in. How do you get the Holy Spirit to come into your life and start driving, to take the steering wheel? Especially in those moments when you're not really sure what to do and you kind of like to attack. Or you kind of like to defend. Or you kind of like to run. Let's see what it says on how to evoke the Holy Spirit. Please continue.
By this refusal to attempt to teach yourself what you do not know.
Okay, there's first thing. Refusing to teach yourself what you don't know anyway. I don't know what this is for. I really don't understand this picture. I understand this person. I'm not even sure why I'm here. I'm really not qualified to take the next step. Whoa. Please continue.
By this refusal to attempt to teach yourself what you do not know, the guide whom God has given you will speak to you. He will take his rightful place in your awareness the instant you abandon it and offer it to him.
Wow. You would have to actually be willing to let go in that moment and say nothing. Just breathe and be present and be natural. And throw out all of your ideas about attack or defense and just go with the flow right in that moment. You show up the other... Yeah.
One other thing that I notice happens in this situation is that, you know, we got the correct... We may do this and get the correct answer. Then it's kind of like you have to do this almost every time, even though you know what the right answer is, because our ego has a tendency... We know he'll give us the exact correct answer, but we're not using that. We're throwing out an answer, so gets confusing. Sometimes you got to catch. Did that come from there, or did that come from the ego? It's the correct answer. Both answers might sound the same.
Yeah.
That's where it gets tricky.
Yep. Beware the spiritual ego. It has great things to say. They're spiritual sounding.
Yeah. Right.
But it's really it's a little short knife, and you're looking away to stick it between the ribs.
Because that's where I notice, whoa, what is, did I do it completely?
Then you get good catch.
But good catch. All you do is just keep trying.
Good, good, very good. Yeah, you keep trying, and
you keep saying, I don't know anything.
You say, I don't know, you go quiet, and you find out, how does this feel? Before you offer them a quote from the Course in Miracles,
yeah,
but even from this wonderful book, before you say it to this person, check in how it feels. And if it feels like you're about to attack and you're going to be righteous, when you say this, it's a zinger. When you tell them that their attack thoughts are hiding the love in them, you're going to tell them that? Is that what you're going to do? Why don't you find out how it feels before you say it? And it may not be so spiritual after all. It may be the spiritual ego getting ready to hang somebody with these beautiful words.
Mm. You know, and along those lines, sometimes when I ask the Holy Spirit to come and help me, I get something that sounds absolutely like the right thing to do, and my next thought is, are you sure if that isn't for me that you
don't? Nice, right? Nice, you bet. It's worth asking. Excellent. Excellent.
Good. I don't like it.
Well, because you know, haven't we learned that the ego speaks first, comma, and loudest? Okay? So, you know, it's okay to doubt.
Well, you know, I've noticed, you know, because right now, what I'm doing is property management.
Okay.
So I meet many people a month that are looking for an apartment, and I notice that when people walk in the door, there is some version of I'm assessing or judging them.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly around any concerns I might have about their compatibility in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a piece of that feels appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
But what seems to happen, and honestly I don't like have to call it forth, but as I settle in with somebody and spend maybe a half hour with them, I notice that where I'm coming from is where I'm committed to coming from with everybody,
mm-hmm.
is some version of acceptance and kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And just that little bit of shift, then people are at ease. And often it also serves my other motivation is that when people are at ease, they'll say the stupid shit they would say.
It's so true.
But even then, you know, I don't get all judgy about it. I have a version of looking for workability.
Yeah.
Which for me gets me a little bit off the hook in terms of like judging somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I can just come from, you know, some sense of workability about it.
So what you're looking at, instead of looking with your eyes and the paperwork and how long has it been since you got out of prison or were you evicted yesterday, instead of looking at that, you're going for the bigger picture, an understanding of, are they going to fit in here? Are they going to make my life difficult as a property manager and I'll have to kick them out anyway? Do they have dogs? Let's find out if they really have pets. And I don't want to judge them for it. I just need to know.
Right.
Because that's going to be a vision. I have the vision for what works here. And right. Pets aren't allowed. And I'm not losing my job over this. You're not moving in if you have pets. Let me help you understand that.
Mm-hmm.
It's an understanding instead of what the ego would look at. Right? It's full of judgments. You bet. Very good. Very good. Yeah. And when you're certain about what you're doing, you'll be at peace. And they'll pick it up. I love what you said. They start to say the dumbest things. And they're not defending themselves because they're being honest.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to be honest right back. Well, you know, you say, of course, you know, we don't allow you the raising of pit bulls here in your apartment. But thanks for coming to take a look. How many pit bulls did you say? Oh, yeah, minimum 8. Yeah, what else? Yeah.
But they're service animals.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Eventually, some of them are service animals. One of them was anyway last year. So you get to the truth. All right, good. Okay, let's jump now. Anybody else want to share before we jump into tonight's reading?
Yeah, well, when you were saying to just accept that we have grace and love and joy, the word acceptance came through me, and that it was in a different way that. If you can accept a situation or a person for who they are or the situation, then it's a vision of trust and faith. The acceptance is the first step to moving forward. And it kind of made me think about a friend of mine who said it's easy to be spiritual when you have money. And I was going to ask you about that, but it seems like maybe he should invite the Holy Spirit in. But it's also, I think he's having a hard time accepting it. And maybe that is the first step.
You know, it really is. The acceptance, if you're not accepting it, then you're wishing for it to be different. You're wishing for somebody to change so that you can be happy.
Or a situation.
Or a situation. Yep. Or yourself. Your money, your age, your abilities, your bank account, your past, your police record. Who knows? You're wishing for something that is to be different. You can't, if you're not accepting. Oh my God. That is a brick wall. To wish for a different past is a brick wall. You can do it. Let me see. How long can you wish for something that's impossible? Anybody done that? Maybe again and again and again?
You mean like trying to make a rock that God can't pick up?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Trying to wish something didn't happen that's already coming on. Yeah. And there's no opportunity to change it. It is. Yeah.
Well, when I walked in here, I was going through the tail end of a separation that happened, and so I was angry, and I did a lot of attacking, and everything around ego. And these rooms helped me, this room, other rooms, mm-hmm. you people mostly, this mm-hmm. book, you people mostly, you mm. helped me so much, and it's come so far. And I see her now as a gentle, compassionate person. We don't fight. I can't remember the last time we fought. It's been mm-hmm. 5-6 weeks. Mm-hmm. We're just wonderful around the kids now. I see gentleness in her, compassion in her. Mm-hmm. We treat each other with respect, kindness. Mm-hmm. It's been really nice.
It sounds like a lot of healing is going on there.
Well, you know, the consolation prize is I get to raise these kids with this wonderful person. Mm-hmm. And, so I'm grateful for that.
Nice.
I always love her. But, I've met someone else, and mm-hmm. that's beautiful. Uh-huh. So maybe that's the, that's the better person for me. But mm-hmm. I don't know. She tomorrow said she wanted me back. I'd say yes, but uh-huh. But that's I'm not going to go there.
Uh-huh.
That's another thing. This course taught me. It's I don't have that.
Yeah,
and stay in the now. But anyway, thank you all for
good
for keeping me out of that attack mode. And once I got out of that and started to understand that I could get out of the ego and get the love back inside me, and I was able to get out of myself and start
get out of yourself and stop listening to your old self. It doesn't know squat. Don't use your old self as a past light to guide you now.
Those tapes and things, and started started to write this, the weaving the tales, that was another thing I heard in here. All the tales that weaved about what happened. What were the reasons and the script that I had, what happened, uh-huh.
Story.
My reasons.
Story upon story.
Doesn't matter, really.
Made up on past and fantasies and
versus that I've heard in here.
Oh my God.
Spot on.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing that back to us. So. But accepting what is as it is without changing it is the first step toward moving to what we're calling door A. Door B is you go out there and try, and if you can change it just right, you'll be happy. You manipulate the world, then everything's going to go smooth. But it's always out there. It's something to be changed, and then you can arrive. Door A is right here. Can you actually stop all this noise? Come back into the present moment. Take a breath. Accept the world exactly as it is. Because it's bigger than your little body and your little dreams. and come back in to where you actually live, which is not out there. It's in there, right with your thoughts. That's where you actually live. It always has been. That's door A. Be present and discover your freedom here and now. And then move forward. You bet. If you're not accepting, you'll be forever against this brick wall of trying to change the world.
Yeah, and if you are trying to accept the fact that you don't have any money and you're not getting a job, that's still in the present. It won't always be that way. And yeah. I'm trying to think of what I would say to this person, and maybe that's it. I don't know.
The sooner they accept what they have and don't have, the sooner they'll open their mind to what the next step will be. It's just like the argument with the situation closes their mind.
It's a pretty deep root when you don't have money in a county like this to stay, and he puts in like 20 resumes a day. And,
yeah.
It really got to me when he said, well, it's easy to be spiritual when you have money.
Yeah. Well, it's easier to ignore things when you have money.
And being spiritual is a little different than that.
It's very different from that. But with money, allows you to ignore things. It allows you to pay off misery. It doesn't buy you happiness. It doesn't make you spiritual. It allows you to ignore your part. Yeah, yeah. Look at page 445 in the text. Yeah, it's only 20 or so pages coming up. Wow.
Yeah, we're almost there. Money allows
you to pay off misery.
Yeah, money helps. Yeah, it doesn't buy happiness, but it does pay off misery. Yeah, it doesn't like you too well.
Yeah,
which is a real slippery slope, because you just think you can continue to pay off misery. It's not by happiness, but it pushes the misery away, and you get drunk on the idea that the world can actually make you happy, because it actually does pay off a little misery, but it does never bring the happiness. So it's just an endless door B pursuit.
Put off the
only way I like.
Put off, yes, exactly.
The only way I like to be in the past is when I can say thank you for all the lessons I've learned.
Gratitude.
Sure, yes. Yes, and then one day you might even say, bring them on. Because your Holy Spirit's in tow, and you've done your workbook a few times. You're like, you know what? I wake up every time I find myself in trouble, and I catch myself, I get a little more awake and a little stronger. So you know what? Bring on those problems. I'm going to let more of my baggage go.
I don't exactly say bring them on, but what I do say is I know I'm going to have something today.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got you. That's honest. Yeah, let's just look at this. This is one of our toolbox items. A Course in Miracles in a paragraph or two.
You know what? They haven't got that strip you have of the lessons.
Oh, yeah. The tools, the toolbox.
They might want a couple.
Yeah, yeah. I should print those on better paper and bring them in. I'll do that. Pass them out. Yeah, if you have internet access,
yeah,
you can jump on my website and go to study tools, and there's some free stuff in there. And one of them is a toolbox, a little red toolbox. Click on that, print that out, and it's about a dozen page numbers of when the shit hits the fan, what do I do? And you can just, it'll take you into some sweet pages to kind of wake you up. And this is one of them, I think. Okay. I think this is in there.
Yeah, that's good.
It's like, oh, my order. And the one we just read is in there. You know, 298. Yeah, it's in there, too. Yeah, it'll just wake you up, you know, get you out of your stinking thinking. All right, let's just read paragraph 1 and 2 on this page. Carol, you ready to go?
Yes.
Check out the first three words.
Projection makes perception. Mm-hmm. The world you see is what you gave it, nothing more than that. But though it is no more than that, it is not less. Therefore, to you it is important. It is the witness to your state of mind, the outside picture of an inward condition.
Whoa, say that again?
Therefore, to you it is important that it is the witness to your state of mind, the outside picture of an inward condition. As a man...
You make yourself sick, don't you?
As a man thinking.
Well, he's hitting the same nail with the hammer, the same nail, again and again and again, like he does when he's trying to make a point. It's so true, it's so obvious, but you really need to hear this. Go for it, Carol.
As a man thinketh, so does he perceive.
So that's how it happened. That's how I got here. We've been trying to tell you that since sentence one. Projection makes perception.
Therefore, seek not to change the world, but choose to change your mind about the world. Perception is a result and not a cause. And that is why order of difficulty in miracles is meaningless. Everything looked upon with vision is healed and holy. Nothing perceived without it means anything. And where there is no meaning, there is chaos.
Oh, that's why there's chaos? Because I've been seeing a meaningless world and trying to make sense of it. I've been arguing with a meaningless world. I've been trying to convince a meaningless world that something should be different. And I know what's best. I know what will be better. I'm just going to try to enforce that somehow. He said, no, that's going to be absolutely chaos. Just try to manipulate a meaningless world. And you know what? Just go back 10 years. How much meaning is there still now from then? How much of that stuff really made sense and you're writing on it now? Oh.
How about going back to the Crusades?
What about going back to the Crusades? Oh. What? You can't do that. Oh my God. But you're right. You know, we go into history, it gets absolutely crazy. I'm sorry, your own life. That you could, the things you actually lived through that you don't remember. Right. And were so important then. They were important. Come on. They were important. You were looking down at people and saying stuff that you can't even remember. You remember how you felt. They remember how you felt. But you don't remember what you said. Neither do they. Ah! It was meaningless. Oh my God. Is that what this is all? Yeah, this is what's happening right here and now.
We're still trying to conquer the Middle East.
And we'll just change that and then we'll be happy. Just go do something physical in the world and make it better. Whoa. Slippery slope. Well, let's just read one more paragraph. I know that paragraph. I mean, that's really
nails a lot.
That's the jewel right there. It really does call it out. It calls you out, you little ego, you.
Big ego.
Damnation is your judgment on yourself. And this you will project upon the world. See it as...
Now, hold on. We'll just stop for that first sentence because Kenny is sort of working with that. And you kind of wonder, how is it that I end up with a difficult world and it's in that sentence? Which you busted yourself on beautifully tonight. Read that sentence again.
Damnation is your judgment on yourself, and this you will project upon the world.
You have to. If you are ugly, if you are not innocent, then that's going to be how you're going to believe the rest of the world is holding that too.
If you told someone else that feelings, how you were beating yourself up and maybe the names you call yourself, they probably want to punch you.
You're right, right, wouldn't they? Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Okay, let's continue.
See it as damned, and all you see is what you did to hurt the Son of God. If you behold disaster and catastrophe, you tried to crucify him.
Okay, now, while it's telling you these things, you can read this a simple way. You can come back 2 years from now after doing your Course in Miracles and you will see the exact same words meaning something really high and mighty. There's a message in here about who you are and how you have woven the world that you see and feel and believe. And what, when you get to where you understand how you've made your environment
you spiritual creator, you, how there is room for a little attack on God. It'll take you through that too. Read those two sentences again with that in mind. What if you were to be awakened as an actual extension of God, creating stuff?
Is it, if you behold disaster and catastrophe, you try to crucify him.
Yeah, you try to crucify the Son of God.
If you see holiness and hope, you join the will of God and set him free.
Mm-hmm.
There is no choice that lies between these two decisions. And you will see the witnesses to the choice you made and learn from this to recognize which one you choose.
See, because you are definitely choosing. You're either building it up or you're breaking it down. You're choosing light or you're choosing darkness with each thought. Each thought is a miracle or a grievance. It's creation or destruction, each thought. And what we're, you can tell which one you're doing by how you feel.
The world you see but shows you how much joy and joy you have allowed yourself to see in you and to accept as yours. And if this is its meaning, then the power to give it joy must lie within you.
Oh. Oh my. Seek no further than your own thoughts. You will experience the dream you're dreaming. Oh man, that's good news and bad news. If it hurts, you're dreaming yourself a nightmare. Stop that. Stop that. I mean, just for a while. You can go back to your misery. It'll be refunded if it, being peaceful didn't work out for you. You can go back to your misery and just start thinking those thoughts again. They'll be waiting for you.
They'll be there.
So the whole conscious thoughts we have is our dream.
Yes.
You have quick thinking.
Yes.
Pretty simple.
It's really simple.
Hard to do.
But it's really radical and really simple.
Yeah, very radical.
Have we blown this whole night? Can I just go on another diversion because of what you just said? Why not? We're doing Andrew's favorite pages tonight. Turn to page.
Huh? 224?
No, what? Oh, 42.
242.
Just 42.
Okay,
42. Hey, well, I'm reading my mind. Go to page 42.
Just like to come to a letter, right?
Let's go to the front of the book. Let's go to something where, this is a section called Error in the Ego, okay? This is a metaphysical discussion on what the beep is going on here. And it's part of these first five chapters where Helen was having a hard time keeping up with Jesus as he was, the voice came so fast to her. She said there wasn't any individual words. She said it was as if the flow. She would have to just flow with her shorthand as fast as she could.
He was trying to keep her from thinking.
Probably. I like that. That's probably right. How else could you get around such a smart, hard-headed person that they could go so fast? I love that.
I think you're right. I like it. My daughter was a data process when she was 18. She was hired by Lockheed through an agency.
Yeah.
And she was working on a secret project that the rest of us knew about by initials BCSC, but we didn't have a clue what it was about.
Mm-hmm.
So one time I said to her, Susan, what does BCSC stand for? And she says, what do you mean? I said, well, what does it stand for? And she says, I don't know. I don't think about what I'm typing.
Yeah, that helps her to type it. Not get too dragging the details.
Typist.
So I think, Luann, you're up.
I am.
Read for us paragraph 2, David, what you just said. If you just would get away from your thinking, you might actually find some freedom. But of course, with it, you can't do that. You can't get away from your thinking.
Oh, it's awesome when you do it, barely. There's times when you can bounce on it. It just,
well, here,
that ego jumps back and goes, what is that? And it's real.
Yeah. Here's a little insight. Here's a little insight on how deep that rabbit hole goes. How much of a awakening around that thinking might happen to you as you awaken. Check out this paragraph, please. Paragraph 2.
consciousness, the level of perception, was the first split introduced into the mind after the separation, making the mind a perceiver rather than a creator.
Whoa! Period. Let's just pause on that for a second and read it again for us.
Consciousness, the level of perception, was the first split introduced into the mind after the separation, making the mind a perceiver rather than a creator.
Making the mind a perceiver? Isn't that kind of like a victim? It's out there.
It's a weak.
What?
It's weak.
It's weak. It's just waiting for things to happen to find out if it's good or bad. A perceiver rather than? And a creator is strong. There's no more strength than you being the creator. Whoa. Okay, please continue.
Consciousness is correctly identified as the domain of the ego. The ego is a wrong-minded attempt to perceive yourself as you wish to be rather than as you are. Yet you can know yourself only as you are because that is all you can be sure of. Everything else is open to question.
Woo!
Is the word is italicized there? Or am I just seeing things?
Yes, it is. It is.
Everything else is open to question.
Yeah.
So what we're after is finding out who we are. The favorite question of every spiritual teacher I've ever been with.
Right? Yeah. The Course in Miracles even goes a step further. It uses who in the beginning of the workbook. But, and as you start to get started, you get into some areas of this book, and it'll say, it starts to say what you are, not who.
Yeah.
When you're ready to hear that.
It's kind of like asking what God is.
Uh-huh. Instead of who God is.
Yeah.
Right? It's different.
This is definitely different.
Good. Good. Okay, and we're just going to skip that next paragraph because that'll lead us into another interesting metaphysical rabbit hole. But you just read it through a first few words, you get an idea of how far this goes as far as orienting you on what thought is all about. But we're not going there tonight, but it's here. And when we restart, we'll go read it some more. So no time soon. All right. So let's go back to tonight's reading, and page 446 or 7, I think, right? Mm-hmm. My marker fell off.
27.
Thank you. 427.
427?
427. And we're in paragraph 5, cinco. By the way, who wants to run the meeting next week? Anybody here
want to? I'll do it if you want.
Can you do it?
Yeah, I'll do it.
All right. And then do it for 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Where are you going?
Peru.
Oh, fine.
Go to South America.
Safe travels.
Thank you. Good night, David. Thanks for sharing. Beautiful.
I would love to hear your feeling about Machu Picchu.
I'll let you know. Okay. What's your name again?
Linda.
Okay, Linda, read for us paragraph 5.
You look still with the body's eyes, and they can see but thorns. Yet you have asked for and received another sight. Those who accept the Holy Spirit's purpose as their own share also his vision. And what enables him to see his purpose shine forth from every altar now is yours as well as his. He sees no strangers, only dearly loved and loving friends. He sees no thorns, but only lilies, gleaming in the gentle glow of peace that shines on everything he looks upon and loves.
Beautiful. And we can keep reading. It's kind of like one big paragraph, really. Mark, would you read 4-6?
This Easter, look with different eyes upon your brother. You have forgotten me.
Forgiven
me. And yet I cannot use your gift of lilies while you see them not.
And you should really be underlined or italicized or something.
when you're busy noticing thorns, you can't use your awareness of loving thoughts or of union or forgiveness or patience or any of that stuff. Like,
nor can you use what I have given unless you share it.
Whoa, that's a big sentence.
Mm-hmm. Nor can you use what I have given unless you share it.
Oh my God. Unless you share it. Unless it comes through you or from you, it won't come to you. No, that's a law. It's a law of mind. It's a law of love. Love isn't receiving. Love is that you've got, that you had been given it, and that you've read it, or you're aware of it. It's that you can give it.
This is also kind of like the holy relationship, the sharing part.
Yes.
And I find that that's the whole key to it.
Yes. The whole key.
Yeah, once that happens, you know, when I remember when me and Stefan first did it one time, I gave an idea, he gave one, and we both came up with a different idea. Mm-hmm. It was a little, it went more towards what we do, but it was, we both had it on, and it was just like, whoa. We just sat back going, dude, this was awesome. We didn't have to argue. It was cool.
Oh, that is. You can never go back from that.
Yeah, awareness. Yeah, now I read this and you get stuff, but if me and Stefan get together and we're in that mode.
Yep.
Yep. It's like reading 10 chapters.
Yeah, that's right. Because you have an experience now of love. Like, experience now of sharing. An experience of oneness. You have vision.
Yeah.
You guys had a vision at that point that went beyond the understanding of what the book says.
Yeah.
You know, or how it says it to me.
And we're sitting back and you get that thing that's like, sometimes you can't even explain it.
That's right. But you've changed.
Yeah.
That's what spiritual awakenings do.
Yeah,
they're really beyond words. It's a journey beyond the words.
Yeah.
But with an experience. Yeah, that's really good.
It's
very good. Okay, so you just read, nor can you use what I have given unless you share it. Wow. Okay, let's continue.
The Holy Spirit's vision is no idle gift, no plaything to be tossed about a while and laid aside. Listen and hear this carefully, nor think it but a dream, a careless thought to play with, or a toy you would pick up from time to time and then put by. For if you do, so will it be to you.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'll tell you, like, when we take a few of these little gems, like, unless you've been given gifts with A Course in Miracles. Beautiful sentences, beautiful paragraphs, pages. We read a couple tonight. Unless you share it, you can't use it. Oh, wow. Make that real in your life. And then you get it. Like you did.
Yeah.
You actually decided, you know what? I'm going to share Stephen's idea. Instead of argue with it or try to teach him my way is better. And something happened. A movement occurred. Yeah. That's what we're talking about.
I also did that with Rick. I used to do that, like, I'd be reading something. He hadn't read it. So I'll go, I can't get what this means. So I go to Rick and tell him, dude, so read it, tell me what you think. Hell no. Well, he reads it and tells you what he thinks.
Yes.
You know? And just that, I mean, you think, well, you didn't do anything before. And, well, I knew exactly what it meant then.
Yeah. Just a little clue.
It doesn't take, you know, you could have mom on the street do it.
Yep, that's true. Just to be read.
And get the same thing.
Even just to have somebody else read the same words.
Yeah.
You would hear it and you would get it. It's very, very, very potential.
That's what's really cool about it.
Yeah.
Be able to do that and look back and go, I finally got this one down there. It's like, all that time wasted?
Yeah. Well, you get it when you get it.
Yep. You get it, you get it.
Yep. That's right. Very good. Listen and hear this carefully. Nor think it but a dream, a careless thought to play with, or a toy that you would pick up from time to time and then put by. Pick up your Course in Miracles every once in a while and then just put it down and go off and live your life. Because if you do so, then it'll just be that to you. It'll be a toy that you can use every once in a while. Something when the things are really bad to make you feel better. Instead of a gift to receive on the awakening of your very being. Getting out of the lie, in other words. Getting out of the lie of being stuck in a body. Take it for real. Because I mean, here we are on page 427, 1,300-page book, and I'll just cut to the chase. You get into around lesson 200, and it's going to start saying you're not a body. And it's time for you to realize that. No, realize making it real. That's where this journey goes. But if this is a toy to you, those would be like, oh, that's for somebody else to read. No, this is your book. This is waking you up to your true life. This is how you get out of a body. This is how you get out of this chasing your tail body. Is recognize you're not a body. But you are deeply drunk on being a body, so you'll pay attention. Yeah, that's why I just love this paragraph. It says, if you treat this like a toy, that it'll be to you. But it's not a toy, he says. He says, this isn't a toy. And he says, he's going to give you the goods as we go on. They're radical, but would you really have anything less than lamb?
No.
I don't think so either. Ah! Oh, okay.
You can get joy, have so much joy eating Rocky Road ice cream to the bottom of them, knowing that your ego's telling you to go at it.
Yeah.
No, not necessarily.
You have fun at it.
Right, right.
Is that true? What you just said?
You have a blast eating Rocky Road ice cream and then go to the hospital an hour later?
Yeah.
Well, that might be true, but because your body reacts maybe to all that sugar, yeah.
Right.
But having the joy of it, I don't think the Holy Spirit cares if you have joy out of it. I think it's glad you're having joy out of it, is what I guess I'm saying.
No, there's it's not evil. There's no sin.
It's another one that what you're talking about there's what I heard, it just changed everything. It's like, you know, you're eating some junk and this is going to cause you to get break or whatever, you're going to cause you to get ill.
Yep.
So, you know, you don't do it. But then it says, well, next time you do that, forgive it. Mm-hmm. And see what happens.
Mm-hmm. You'll probably stop eating it. It's just like using drugs.
Or it won't bother you.
Bother you. Yeah. If you really can transcend it.
It changes it.
No, this is true. That's absolutely true. If you really can forgive it, really forgive it. It becomes the nothing that it is.
Yeah.
Okay? At the very least, you'll stop this ego pursuit that your happiness comes from the ice cream or the drug or the person. You can transcend it also. It's another level of consciousness you're talking about, if I heard you right. But at least start with this. Don't be listening to your ego and changing the world makes you happy. Get off of that.
So, the assumption, like what I mean, is we have these assumptions about everything we do, all the food.
Yeah.
And I'm noticing that when you do that, the assumption kind of goes away. Mm-hmm. The judgment and the guilt you put on it.
Yep.
You know, because I've been doing this forgiveness thing, you're trying to just constantly do it, even though I have no clue what I'm doing.
Yep.
I just do it until,
yep.
You know, it's the guilt is going away. And
yes. The suffering goes away.
Yeah.
The pain still seems to be there.
Yeah.
It shows up, right?
Away because we made it.
Things still happen. But yeah. As you forgive, the suffering drops. And now your mind is a little more open to listen to the Holy Spirit's miracle about what's really going on. And then you will find out that your forgiveness is even more powerful than. That's part of the acceptance trick. Is if you stop fighting stuff and you start accepting it is what it is, I got to change me. I'm not going to change it. The minute you cross that bridge, you start to calm down and you can start to hear the Holy Spirit, and then your bigger lessons will start to happen. That's when the miracle can be afforded.
Isn't what you're talking about forgiving yourself, for instance, for indulging in something that you know you shouldn't have?
Mm-hmm.
But isn't it also true that you can do the same thing by realizing that no matter what you do, as long as it doesn't harm you, as long as you're not judging yourself about it, you're innocent. You can get past it already just doing that.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, it's all in your head.
That's what I always think. When I look at myself, I say, who am I to judge me or anybody else?
It's all in your head.
I do it, yeah. But that doesn't mean I...
Yep.
It doesn't mean I'm guilty. It just means I do it.
Yep.
And I don't like doing it, and when I don't like something, I try to stop doing it.
There you go. I think that's pretty good advice. Doctor, it hurts when I do this. Well, don't do that. That'll be $100.
So, yeah. Kath, we just have fun in the outside world, right?
Yes.
You know, as things falling apart, work. You still can have fun.
That's right. It would be fun if you took the fear out of it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, when that goes away, then, okay.
Then it's just
having fun.
Then it's a gas.
Yeah. But what
it
is just
goes,
yeah.
Boom,
boom. Oh, yeah.
So what? The meaning that you give everything?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
What's that?
That's lesson number two.
Yeah.
I have given everything I see all the meaning it has for me.
Yeah. Yes.
I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a really great awakening. That's right. It turns from a horror show nightmare to, hey, this could be fun. As I bumble and try to figure out, I'm way over my head. Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, watch this. But if you took the fear out, you just do what you're going to do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Do the best you can. And it just wouldn't be such a nightmare.
It's so fun to realize, oh, I didn't roll the tractor over on myself.
It is nice to realize that. Okay. Yeah. That could be worse.
I did that once and I don't like it.
Yeah, I tried that.
Yeah, I had one running over the top of me.
Yeah,
I survived. That was no big deal, but it's like, it's kind of spooky.
Yeah, not supposed to happen.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, what's one way of training? Is you roll it over once. You learn how not to roll it over.
Yeah, well, friend of mine had the cutter machine.
Yep.
Fell off and it flew over the top. He just laid real flat and went over the top of him.
Oh, jeez.
Nothing happened to him.
Yeah.
But he says, oh my God, because of that blade, a 4-foot blade.
Oh, yeah. Know? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he escaped.
Yeah, that's called training.
It's also called fear after the fact.
Okay.
Thanks. All right. Okay, let's have a circle. Okay, take a deep breath. How you see is how you see. You choose and then you see. If you choose with weakness, you'll see danger. You can choose with strength. It might be fun. We've got to move ourselves away from the weakness of the ego that is threatened all the time. Well, that's why I came, and it's not a mistake. You actually made a place where you could be threatened, and things would go wrong, and they all die. Well, they all die. Yeah, that's what happens. So if you look at it through those lenses, you're going to be waiting for the death, even as it gets born. There's a part of you that's always going to be waiting for the destruction. But if you look at it from the point of life, it might be fun until it dies. And even then, your awakening will allow you to see that also as the life that it is. This is what it means to have vision instead of just relying on what your eyes see. Instead of looking with limit, look through the unlimited. Because that's actually what you are. So let's try to open our minds now to the bigger picture. And find a little more fun in your life when you do. Don't take it so seriously. Thank you, amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.